You're listening to the Packernet Podcast Network.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC. Hey!
Gentlemen, welcome once again to the Packernet Podcast. I am your host and resident panelist, as always, Ryan Schlipp. Check us out online, packernet.com. Find me on Twitter, pack_daddy. This is it, folks. This is draft day. It is officially, finally here. One of my absolute favorite days of the entire year. It's right up there, man. I mean, you got Christmas and Thanksgiving and all the good ones. There's like the first day of football, obviously, you know, opening day thing, whatever. But draft day, man, it is up there. I'm lying a little bit because I still have to wait till tomorrow. But, you know, you guys get to have some freaking fun. Please don't forget, we are doing a giveaway. $125 goes to Fogo. We're doing two of them, okay? And I just don't want you to forget. Very simple to fill out the form. If you can't find it, message me, but it's on Facebook. It's in the Facebook group. It's on the Facebook page. I put it on YouTube, so if you're subscribed there, you should be able to see it. There's a link on YouTube. It's on X, Twitter, whatever. Again, you guys are all doing mock drafts. Just transpose the mock draft onto the form. What player did you take? What round did you take them? It's not going to hurt anything. Worst case scenario, you don't get $125. That's it, though. Also, please remember to subscribe to the Packernet Podcast YouTube channel. Going to be streaming all 3 days, so I would love to have you hang out with us. Very, very tentative plans, more or less, though. We're going to do what we always do and just hang out. I want to say I've been streaming the draft since 2019. I don't know if I did 2018 or not. I don't think so. I think so. 2019, 20, 21, 22, 23. So this would be year 6, I guess, of streaming the draft. So it's always fun, man, just hanging out, just watching TV together. You can just have YouTube up in the background. Obviously, if you get bored, there's a billion other Packers content creators doing their streams, so you can hop back and forth. Just don't forget about me. But should be a good time, and I'm looking forward to it. By the way, if you guys have any ideas, like I said, I mentioned a couple people that might swing by. Also hoping and planning to debut some Packernet After Dark music, some official theme songs. Maybe do some more t-shirts if we can think of some. Obviously, we can bring them up right away. We're going to be spending about like 15 hours together, so we got some time to kill. Probably open up the phone lines a little bit if you guys want to call in, hang out, whatever. So on the docket for today, I'm really torn because I don't know if this is a twofer. I may have to do two episodes. I don't know. One thing that has to be done is I want to finish sort of rounding up some of the news, notes, rumors, like all of them. I want to know what's going on. Get down to the nitty-gritty. The other thing that has to be done, this is a new annual rule that I am officially calling the Zach Tom rule. We've got to look at SIS's data. Obviously, there's PFF, there's all kinds of stuff, but so SIS used to have their own website, and if you go to SIS, unless they did it in the last couple of days or so, it was just like draft.sis.com or something. I don't know what it was, but I kept looking, I kept checking and checking and checking, and it was 2023 all the time. Like, what the heck? Are you guys just not going to do this? And I did enough digging, come to find out, they've essentially given that data to 33rd Team to do it for them. Now, I knew 33rd Team had paid an exorbitant price to use their data for their own site, which is fantastic. I know it's an exorbitant price because I reached out to SIS. We were in talks about doing some stuff, and the numbers were so astronomical. I mean, just paying for the data that I have as it is expensive. This was psychotic, which I guess makes sense. But yeah, so they're just letting 33rd Team have that and put out all the data. So anyways, now that I have found it, what I got to do, and the reason I call it the Zach Tom rule, if you don't know, I fell in love with Zach Tom very late in the process 2 years ago. And the only reason I didn't even know who the guy was really, is because I went through the SIS data and I kept just sorting. You know, they got a billion different columns of different statistics, and Zach Tom kept showing up at the top of all of them. And I'm like, who the heck is this freaking? I mean, there's a podcast of me out there going through it live, essentially going, there's freaking Zach Tom again. Like, who is Zach Tom? I don't understand what's going on here. And so Zach Tom was my dude. Like, I don't know much about the guy. I'm all in on Zach Tom. So when we finally took him, I was super jacked about it. So we've got to go through and find some Zach Toms. Who are the guys that are lesser known that we haven't talked about a ton? I did it a tiny bit yesterday when I did the mock draft. I didn't say it out loud, but I was using PFF and SIS as we got further into the process with prospects that I wasn't as familiar with. I've spent this year significantly more time doing film than data. Usually I'm very data heavy and film light. This year I really wanted to go film more, so that I can personally, you know, build an attachment to a player in the way that they play, which I'm fine with. I'm very behind on the data things, and there's a lot of guys out there that have done some really good things that fit the Packers' thresholds, whether you're talking RAS, whether you're talking offensive linemen that have played multiple positions, PFF grades, whatever. So we've got to do the Zach Tom thing, but I do want to start because today is day one. We got to talk about day one. We got to go through and find out what's going on. There's a whole lot of news and notes coming out. Some of it might be useful, some of it might not. I was watching PFF today. They were doing some live stream, and I just kind of clicked it on for a minute. And the first thing he was talking about as soon as I turned it on was he was going through the betting markets. And it was like very late in the process, some guys just shot up. And I forget exactly who it was, but it was the most absurd thing in the world. It was just like, what? You know, hearing it in hindsight. So, you know, take whatever you want with a grain of salt, but this is our last day to kind of finally formulate what we're feeling about certain guys. But why don't we get started and just kind of see, I guess, where this leads us. I've been trying to find a way to organize this, and I can't necessarily, I mean, it doesn't work. It's better to just kind of go through it as it comes up. So I kind of just want to look over the last 24 hours and just kind of get an evaluation of where we're at. Obviously, most of this comes at the beginning of the draft, especially when it comes to trading. What is New England? What is Minnesota doing? What are a lot of these teams doing? Those are primarily the most talked about issues, but I just want to go through, I guess, several of these. And again, it's not in any particular order because it's just not working out that way. Number one is that seemingly, according to Mike Garofolo, the Raiders called up to try to get to two. Now, the Commanders are almost certainly going to stay put and take Jaden Daniels. So just so we're clear, Caleb Williams will go number one. At least everyone seems completely sold on that. The Bears seem to have done no homework on anybody anywhere at any point. They just, you know, watch the quarterbacks on film, and then they're like, yeah, whatever. They've been on vacation for months. I forget who it was. I want to say it was Daniel Jeremiah, but he was pumping Drake May at number two. He felt it was the better fit. There was some conversation about wanting to get a Matt Ryan and Drake May being closer to Matt Ryan, but he kind of finally backed off of that because everything that he's been hearing ever since is that they're going Jaden Daniels, which I think is, you know, it makes sense. So it seems like that's the thing. But here's the interesting part about the Raiders potentially calling to get to two. All I really want to know is how much competition does Minnesota have? Because either way, number one, they're either not going to be able to come up because of the competition. There's a lot of talk about the Giants, although some talk that the Giants aren't going to come up. But if you got the Raiders and maybe the Broncos and some other teams coming in, one of two things is going to happen. They're either not going to get that spot because of somebody else and they're going to get stuck where they are, or number two, they're going to have to pay an exorbitant price because of supply and demand. So if the Raiders are in the mix, that's interesting. Secondarily, one of the things we talked about yesterday is, could there be like a mini quarterback run? When you have Minnesota, you have the Raiders, you have Denver kind of sitting in that range. Presumably, you know, one of them comes up, whatever. Maybe, maybe not. If the Giants take that spot, or if teams stay put or whatever, could there be a mini quarterback run? Well, with the Raiders trying to move up, it sounds like they want a quarterback. So it really just comes down to the evaluation. Same for Minnesota. You know, it's like, well, if they get stuck, then I guess they're getting Penix. Or, you know, who by the way, is gaining a ton of steam. What if they don't like Penix? You know, so the other kind of note buried in these notes somewhere, I'll get more specific if I find it or we come across it, but Minnesota really wants Drake May. That is sort of the thought process. He has some familiarity with some of the Minnesota Vikings staff, I think play style and everything else. Like they're all in on Drake May. They're trying very hard to get up. They're not getting to one. They're not getting to two. And it sounds like they're not going to get to three. Here's the reason I say that. Three is the New England Patriots. Now, by the way, I've been saying for a while when I do mock drafts, I'm sorry, Minnesota, I got nowhere to come up. Now, maybe it's smart because New England doesn't have a lot of picks. You know, Carol, the Cardinals could afford to get a few more picks or whatever, but there's two, well, three major obstacles. They kind of overlap a little bit. Number one is that New England will have a quarterback, whether it's Drake May, J.J. McCarthy, or whoever it is that they like. They will have a quarterback sitting there, and it is a presumably top-tier quarterback, right? Again, depends on your evaluation. They need a quarterback. They don't have one. That's a big deal if you're going to pass on quarterbacks like the Bears did with C.J. Stroud last year. That was not a good decision. Now, they got lucky and got the top spot again, but you don't want to be in that situation where Drake May, you know, goes to Minnesota and is a premier quarterback, and you traded back so you can get what? You grab what? Quinion Mitchell, and then later on at pick 23, you get offensive line or something. There's nothing you can do that's going to make that okay. The other issues involved. Number two, Elliot Wolf is a Packer guy. Obviously, he's the son of Ron Wolf. The understanding, and this is all teams understand this, but I don't know if anybody has had this beat into their skull more than the son of Ron Wolf, the importance of getting a quarterback. And number three, even if Elliot Wolf wants to trade back, apparently they're not giving him the role of GM. They're not giving him the power to make the decisions. And Robert Kraft has said out of both sides of his mouth, number one, you know, yeah, we're going to let Elliot kind of make the decisions, et cetera, et cetera. But has also made comments about, we need a quarterback. Like, I really hope we come away with a quarterback. It's just, I don't see how they walk away from this. Unless they just think that there's two quarterbacks and everybody else is a bum, I don't see how they move off of that spot. Here's a little tidbit here. This is from Charles Robinson at Yahoo Sports. Contrary to vast amounts of projections since March 15th, when the Minnesota Vikings dealt for the Houston Texans' number 23 overall pick, there was a growing consensus among NFL teams that McCarthy is not the primary target in the potential trade-up for the Vikings. Instead, it's believed Minnesota's top target is May. He has a connection with quarterbacks coach Josh McCown, who coached May in high school. The potential complication for the Vikings is how the quarterback stack falls at the top of the draft. Assuming Daniels is the Commanders' pick at two, all eyes will fall on the New England Patriots at three and what they choose to do with that slot. While trading out is certainly an option, it's telling that team owner Robert Kraft said publicly one breath that he was going to let the team make the decision, but then in the next breath said, one way or another, I'd like to see us get a top-rate young quarterback. So to say I want a quarterback and then also say I'm not giving you the GM title, I'm not going to let you make a unilateral decision. Come on, man. We don't know, but everything is pointing to you will draft a quarterback. And it could be a disaster. It could end up being like the Carolina Panthers, where you got the owner forcing the hand of the team to get the guy that nobody wants except the owner, who just wants to get a young, flashy quarterback. And then when it's a disaster, he fires everybody else. But the bottom line is, I don't give a crap what Minnesota does or doesn't do or how much they suck. I care about the Vikings. And if they like May, I don't want them to get May. Now, maybe the best thing is that they do get May, because they got to give up a ton of capital to be able to get May. And then, you know, again, what are the odds that Drake May is as good as the quarterback that they had? I would say not great. But you know who's really not as good as their old quarterback? Whoever it is they're going to be stuck with, Sam Darnold or whoever, if they don't get Drake May. It says, achieving that goal points to the Patriots sticking at the number three pick and selecting that player. If that's May, the selection could turn the draft on its ear for two franchises. The first would be the Vikings, who would have their top quarterback target taken off the board. The second would be the New York Giants, who have been carefully working league connections to figure out how quarterbacks stack. And that's another one. So the Giants have been coming out and can playing it like they don't want it. They're playing it cool. Like, oh, yeah, we don't even want a quarterback. We're not worried about it. Quarterback's stupid. And then very sneakily, they're going around trying to get as much data on quarterbacks as they possibly can. It says, without a doubt, there are other front offices that believe a quarterback is squarely in play for the Giants. The unknown is whether or not McCarthy, who made a private visit to the franchise in March, again, very private, is the player they're aiming for with pick number six. So this becomes interesting, too, because I think it's going to be quarterback, 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 and I think all three teams stay. The issue then is the Giants are looking at this going, okay, we had JJ in. We really want JJ to fall to us to six, but we got so many quarterback hungry teams and we got two teams in between us. Now, I don't think the Chargers trade back, because it's seeming like in a way the Chargers really, well, let's put it this way. There are two main things the Chargers need: offensive line and wide receiver. We can argue back and forth about what that is. Trading doesn't make a lot of sense, because even if Arizona stays and takes the top wide receiver, there is an unbelievably elite wide receiver sitting there. Either way, if that's not their direction, the top tackle, who's probably Joe Alt, is going to be sitting right there at five and makes a ton of sense. So I don't think five moves. Now, maybe you could argue that they could fleece the Giants or whatever and move back one spot because they're still going to get it. But they don't want to move back to 11 with the Minnesota Vikings. Tennessee's going to get Joe Alt. The Bears might end up taking another tackle, and now you're stuck with whoever's left. You're certainly not trading with Denver or Las Vegas, who are behind Minnesota. So really, it becomes a battle of number four, where you have Minnesota, probably Las Vegas, guaranteed the Giants, because they don't want to lose the final one, maybe even Denver in the conversation, and who knows who else. You might have teams trying to come up and jump the Chargers to get Joe. You might have Tennessee trying to come up to four to get Alt. You might have the Jets, which is another thing that we need to talk about. The Jets apparently are planning on being very aggressive for getting offensive playmakers for Aaron Rodgers. Remember last year, there was a ton of talk, oh, they're going to do right by Rodgers. Finally, somebody that actually cares about Rodgers. And what did they do? They drafted a pass rusher instead of an offensive lineman. And what happened? The offensive line was a disaster. Aaron Rodgers ran for his life for about 8 seconds before he popped his Achilles. So now they're going to have this big overt gesture. Well, if they're going to be irresponsible in their desire to, get some help, why not go up to four and get the top wide receiver? So I'm just posing a lot of different things that could be happening here for four. You've got, let's see, if we include Atlanta, possibly, probably unlikely because they're probably trying to go all in with Kirk Cousins, but, you know, they don't have a long-term option. So we'll leave them out of it. But teams looking for a quarterback would include the Giants, the Vikings, the Broncos, the Raiders, and let's leave it at this. You got four teams looking for that. You've got Tennessee possibly coming up for a tackle. You might even have the Chargers on the phone trying to come up and make sure that they can get their guy. If, you know, Arizona's smart, they call the Chargers like, hey, just so you know, Tennessee's trying to come up for a tackle. Because they're just trying to get as many people on the phone to raise the price as high as possible. And you could potentially even have the Jets from 10 calling to have them come up. We've got seven teams here. And who's to say the Bears wouldn't try to come up and get the top wide receiver? They don't need to. But the amount of people that would love to come into this spot with maybe one good quarterback left, which just makes teams desperate for that quarterback, and still the top tackle, the top wide receivers, and there's two that are just elite. And then Arizona might just stay anyways. Now, presumably, the team that would be willing to pay the highest price is a team coming up for a quarterback. But who is that going to be? And are the Arizona Cardinals even going to trade? All right, so let's move off that. That's going to be a really interesting thing. Certainly going to keep my ear to the ground as much as I can. couple other notes. Dozens. Actually, why don't we just take a break? We'll come back and hear from Charles Robinson and his thoughts on the running back situation. In the hobby, it's not easy being a fan of ripping packs or repacks. We get all hyped up thinking we're going to get some high-value Jordan Love card, but with zero transparency on available cards and hit rates, it's all just a shot in the dark. Until now. Introducing Slab Packs from ArenaClub.com, the only repack that provides real value, a complete view on all possible cards, and clear hit rates for each one. Now when I buy Slab Packs on Arena Club, it finally feels like I know what I'm getting. And honestly, the best thing for me and my son is the fact that we're kind of novices into this. When I walk into a card shop with my son, and a card says it costs $40, kind of just taking his word for it that that's a good value. So I appreciate the transparency on grading, as well as just getting excited about seeing what you could potentially get. Right now, you can get 10% off your first purchase by going to arenaclub.com/packdaddy. Wow, that's crazy offer. 10% off a $400 slab pack. That's 40 bucks right there. Anyways, that's arenaclub.com/packdaddy for 10% off your first purchase.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510, is he declaring an emergency? There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
So Charles Robinson of Yahoo says, "The closer we get to the draft, the more I hear the assessment on the running back class, the more I think there's a shot that the bulk of the class comes off the board in the third round. I wrote a more expansive piece about the running backs last week, but I have some new data after my last dive into calls." So again, these are the things I care about. I don't care about people's opinions. I want people on the phone calling around and trying to get the feel for what's actually going on with these teams. It says, "While there has been some consideration about a surprise first running back off the board, I'm more confident that that will either be Texas's Jonathan Brooks or Florida State's Trey Benson. That's not exactly a revelation, with both being in play of the top running back stack, but it now feels like they're more of a tier unto themselves, with the next tier being a mixture of Michigan's Blake Corum, Wisconsin's Braylon Allen, and Tennessee's Jalen Wright." So I think the Packers need and want a running back, but not desperately. I think they're probably going to be able to get a really good one, and I think they might be able to get it late. If they're not even going to start coming off the board until the third round, and we're talking like the top guys come off maybe late second, early third, and then it's another gap because they're just not good enough. We're talking late third round possibly. The title here says running backs wait until late Friday night. That means, you know, day three, the Packers probably still have a pile of running backs that look real good. Speaking of runs, though, possible offensive line run on Thursday night. Now, I think a lot of people have been expecting this for a while, but of course, this is something else the Packers have to keep an eye on. So this is another thing that they started talking about on PFF, the underrating of offensive linemen. For whatever reason, not the NFL, but the media. It seems as though the media always forgets about offensive line, and then it starts to be rumors about offensive linemen going early, and it's like, really? It's like, well, yeah. We're talking premier players at premier positions. Like, what is complicated about this? But little note here, it says, this is also from Robinson, "The offensive tackle run in the first round is going to be wild. There's a chance that seven tackles go in the first 32 picks. We got Notre Dame's Joe Alt, Penn State's Olufoshinu, Alabama's J.C. Latham, Oregon State's Talisi Fuaga, Washington's Troy Fatanu, Oakland's Tyler Guyton, and Georgia's Amarius Mims. Some teams also see BYU's Kingsley Suamataia as a potential late first-round pick as well." And I think he left out Barton, which is an option. But it says, "The three interesting players from this group to keep an eye on are Fashanu, Latham, and Mims. There are split opinions on these three. I wouldn't be stunned if Fashanu and Latham weren't the second and third tackles off the board behind Alt, which is the slot they're often mocked to, or if Mims potentially slips out of the first and into the top of the second. Bottom line, tackle order is going to be a little more chaotic than people think." And also, how it falls and who falls. You know, again, if there's a run that starts real early, I mean, if again, very unlikely, but if somebody moves up with the Cardinals to take a tackle, and then the next pick is a tackle, you know, the Bears, if they go tackle instead of wide receiver. There's a lot of teams that need offensive line that could start going crazy with offensive line. Conversely, there's a lot of offensive linemen, and if instead it's quarterbacks and wide receivers, there's going to be a lot of tackle talent falling to the Packers. Oh, he didn't mention Jackson Powers Johnson either. So Graham Barton, Jackson Powers, oh, no, those tackles, never mind. That's probably why he sees them both as interior. As for the fourth spot, we got a little note on that. It says, as we previously discussed, the Cardinals are open for business at four. So it sounds like the Cardinals have made it clear they're shopping the pick. That doesn't 100% mean they're going to move it, but it sounds like they want to, and they're working real hard to make sure that they get a haul, and they probably will. It says, however, do not expect to learn what they plan to do until around 8:30 p.m. Eastern on Thursday night, as General Manager Monty Austin Ford has made it clear that no decision will be made until Arizona is officially on the clock. Jonathan Jones of CBS Sports wrote that the Cardinals already have two offers in for the pick, and it's somewhat clear what teams are looking to move into that spot. According to multiple reports, the Vikings, Giants, Raiders, and Broncos are all looking to move up into the first round. Jordan Renan of ESPN reported Tuesday that the Giants are at least looking to trade up with an eye on May, while Renan's colleague Kimberly Martin reported that the Vikings are trying to actively move up and were hoping to have a top five pick before the draft. And again, that was my assumption. When they moved up into the first round and got those two picks, they wanted to come into the draft with a pick ready to go. And they still may. Maybe they can move Arizona. They don't want to be hanging out here with possibly not being able to move up. Not that having two first-round picks is a bad thing, but that's not why they did it. Especially with a data-driven GM, trading up is anathema. You don't do it. But you got to get a quarterback. So if you move into the first round and then get stuck there and then can't move up and aren't the team that's able to move up, and that's what makes you think it will be the Vikings. Because if you get stuck, you look like an idiot. You don't have a quarterback. Your fan base is going to be pissed. You probably are going to lose your job, which means I'm guessing he's going to be willing to massively overpay, because not moving up for a quarterback just isn't an option. And I don't know that there's going to be a more desperate team than the Vikings to make that move. Goes on to say, then there are the Raiders, who, as we already discussed, tried to get to number two, so Las Vegas is likely in the mix for number four. And then it says, quote, the team I feel most comfortable won't be picking where they currently sit are the Denver Broncos. We heard from multiple teams in the top 10. The Broncos have inquired about a trade-up. Have also heard from teams picking after 12, the Broncos have discussed an appetite for trading down. It's obvious Denver desires a quarterback if it can get up to one. And if not, it wants to accumulate draft capital and get more players. So that's kind of an interesting thing to keep an eye on as well. So, okay, we're the Green Bay Packers, right? The Denver Broncos want to move up. If they don't get to Arizona, if they don't get up here, and we're getting down to like pick 12, Denver's making phone calls to move back. Now, I don't know if they want to go back to 25. And I don't know if the Packers are willing to give up all that to move up to there. But they're wanting to move back and accumulate a ton of draft capital. It'll be interesting to see who's still available at 12. Because we have to assume once Denver ticks over, there's going to be another team scrolling across the bottom, and it's not going to be Denver. Who's it going to be? Just asking. Another little interesting note here. Mention how the Chargers are a team that a lot of people think is wide receiver, but we're starting to hear more and more about tackle, right? The head coach wants offensive line. So interestingly enough, Tennessee, it sounds like, has no interest in moving. They want to stay right at seven. Their plan is to get a tackle. If the tackle they want, presumably Joe Alt, is gone, it sounds like they could switch to wide receiver. So they'll just take whatever's left over, because again, if you think about it, Arizona's probably going to trade four. That's going to be a quarterback. If the Chargers go tackle, the Giants then at six are also looking at quarterback, probably get J.J. McCarthy. Tennessee Titans are now sitting here with Malik Nabers. So they're sitting at seven, looking at the situation, saying, we're either going to get Nabers or Joe Alt, and I'm perfectly fine with that. By the way, I was wrong about the Giants. I lost count. I had to actually get started here. So it would be Caleb, then Jaden, then Drake, then J.J. So the Giants wouldn't get them. The question is, would they go Penix at six? And there's some talk that they would. So let me just read this to you, since we're getting about that far down through the draft. This is according to ESPN's Dan Graziano. He says, a month ago, many in the league believed their favorite quarterback in the class was McCarthy. If that were true, things have changed. The rumblings early this week, the Giants guy is May. So that's the Giants again trying to come up. In this scenario, though, they don't. If I were doing a mock right now, which I kind of am to try to keep track, Caleb, Jaden, Drake, and then I think, again, the Vikings are desperate. Now, the Giants may also be desperate, and we'll get to that in a second. It sounds like they might be, but I can't imagine being more desperate than the Minnesota Vikings. So they come up, they get J.J. McCarthy, and then the Chargers take Joe Alt, let's just say. Here's what Graziano goes on to say. I've been told in recent days that the Giants like Penix and might even be willing to take him as high as 6. There's a lot of chatter flying around, but what is clear is that the Giants have done significant work on the quarterbacks and are very open, if not desperate, to come out of Thursday night with one of them. So the question then becomes, if they are stuck, and I hope they're not. I hope they come up to 4, and I hope they get JJ or whatever. But let's assume they don't. Do we slot Michael Penix here? And I kind of hope so. Either way, it sounds like these are the two teams. It said that there was 2 offers in already on that spot. I'm guessing it's the Giants and the Vikings. Those are 2 teams that are beyond desperate to get a quarterback. Now, maybe this is all smoke and mirrors, and this isn't necessarily the situation. This isn't the direction they go, in which case, you know, I'm looking at a board right now where they got Marvin Harrison and Malik Nabers staring them right in the face. I don't know. Other news to keep an eye on. The Cincinnati Bengals apparently all in on offensive line. There was a report from Paul Daner Jr. of The Athletic. Said Cincinnati arrives with immediate priorities at defensive tackle, offensive tackle, and wide receiver, as well as depth pieces at interior offensive line and a wild card of cornerback always on the table. He goes on to list sort of targets. Byron Murphy, J.C. Latham, Troy Fatanu, and Amarius Mims. And he says Latham is the safest pick. So when Cincinnati comes around, again, we're talking about this sort of tackle run, very good chance that this is a piece of that puzzle. So we know we're going to have at least one gone by the time Tennessee picks. Either Tennessee or the Chargers are going to end up taking a tackle, probably Alt. There's a chance that both of them take tackles, Chargers and Tennessee. There's also a chance with, you know, again, Chicago, the Jets desperately need a tackle. And then you've got a bunch of other teams trying to get quarterbacks, but if they can't, who's to say they don't go offensive line? Maybe not Minnesota, but some of these other teams certainly. And then you got the Bengals sitting at 18, probably taking offensive line. Now, again, it's entirely possible that New England does trade down. They've made overtures to the fact that they are willing to trade down. Elliot Wolf says we're open for business. Granted, open for business doesn't mean we're definitely trading. It means please give us offers so we can see what's the best option. Some other notes. Adonai Mitchell is going to go higher than expected. That puts him in range of the Packers, by the way. We talked about this yesterday. A lot of wide receivers are seen as sort of early second round guys, but almost any one of them could be seen as late first round guys. And we've got Adam Schefter, who came out and said, be prepared for Adonai Mitchell to go in the first round. Also, speaking of desperation, this is an interesting little story. Kind of very passively talked about the Denver Broncos possibly wanting to come up for a quarterback. It may be more desperate than it appears. According to Tony Pauline of SportsKita, Peyton had his eyes on Patrick Mahomes in that draft cycle back in 2017. They were sitting with the 11th pick. The New Orleans Saints were looking to trade into the top 10, according to Pauline, but that deal fell through. When the Cincinnati Bengals drafted wide receiver John Ross at number 9, Peyton believed they were home free. That's when the Kansas City Chiefs ruined his dreams, moving up over 15 spots in the first round to draft Mahomes right in front of New Orleans. It's a feeling Peyton does not want to endure twice. Why is that relevant for the upcoming draft? Sources tell me, this is Pauline, losing out on Mahomes has left an eternal bad taste in the mouth of Peyton. Recent word inside the league is that the Broncos coach is ready to mortgage the franchise's future to move up and select a quarterback Thursday night. There are also rumors that Howie Roseman and the Eagles are planning on moving up. In this case, they'd be looking to trade up to get a cornerback. Something the Packers, you know, again, if Denver's calling around looking to move back or whoever, if the Packers are looking to get a corner, there's a lot of aggression. Which, by the way, one of the notes buried in here somewhere, you may have noticed this already, this trend. There's a lot of talk that there's going to be a lot more trades in this draft than we're used to. There's going to be a ton of movement. Speaking of the Jets and their overtures to go get some offensive power for Mr. Aaron Rodgers. It says, Brock Bowers to the Jets buzz is loud. Many experts and people around the industry are connecting Georgia tight end to the Jets, with ESPN's Rich Samini saying, the buzz in the scouting community is loud. Samini reported Sunday that the Jets would pivot to wide receiver if Marvin Harrison or Malik Nabers or Roma Dunze falls to them, and they also interested in offensive tackles, Joe Alt, Talise Fuaga, and Troy Fatanu. I'm going to get that right. All right, let's take our final break. We'll rip through the rest of these rumors and whatnot that we can try to keep in the back of our minds for tomorrow or today for you as we start talking about what's going to happen here. We'll take a break. We'll be right back. So there's an article from Bleacher Report talking about J.J. McCarthy. And, it's not a massive surprise because I think most people assume he's going to go relatively early. But Jeremy Fowler says, I would say the biggest surprise, even though it's not necessarily a surprise because he's gaining momentum, but just J.J. McCarthy. Teams really are sold on him. He goes on to say, I can't tell you how many cases I had made for me as to why he's going to go high. Usually teams are sort of hiding that. The ESPN reporter said the McCarthy buzz isn't going to be like the excitement surrounding former Kentucky quarterback Will Levis, who was hyped as a first-round pick before falling to number 33 in the 2023 draft. Quote, I've had at least one team bring up, well, is that the case with McCarthy? Is it too good to be true with some of the hype? But then I've heard from too many teams, they're going to be shocked if he doesn't go in the top six just because of all the offers, because of all that he offers. Which, by the way, again, and not that I've done extensive scouting on quarterbacks, I don't know why there wouldn't be a ton of hype on McCarthy. Again, in my opinion, there are two Mahomes-type quarterbacks, with McCarthy being one of them. Not saying as good, I'm just saying style and potential ability. Fowler said that part of the excitement is because of his pro day. So again, not super surprising, but great news, because you don't want a Will Levis situation where this guy ends up falling out of the first, which means he, you know, obviously we get less talent falling to us. Another team desperately looking to trade up, at least I've heard from several people, I don't mean directly, I'm not trying to be an insider, it just keeps coming up, is the Chiefs. Now, this could potentially be something for, you know, obviously there's a lot of talk about Packers need to move up here, what if they give this, they can go up here, but Brian Gutekunst said that he may be looking to acquire more capital. Kansas City Chiefs don't have a ton of picks, but if Gutekunst has an opportunity to pick up another pick, let's just say it's another fourth round pick or something, or maybe a third, I don't know, to go back to 32 where the Kansas City Chiefs are sitting, I don't know that he wouldn't. The issue is Kansas City might be looking to move up even further. In the team's pre-draft press conference late last week, Veach outlined that the move up could be in the works. Quote, I can envision myself trading up into the teens, but you've got to get the owner's approval on that. We have a pretty good plan this upcoming week, but every situation is unique. I could certainly see something like that, but a lot of things have to fall in place. So, I mean, look, maybe the Packers are just going to let everybody else be aggressive and be wild and just kind of sit back and play it cool. But it sounds like absolute pandemonium and chaos. Everybody wants to move up. Everybody's freaking out. We'll see what the Packers do, but I could absolutely see them just sitting back and going, I don't freaking whatever. You guys want to come up? Because we got time. But if you're going to trade up, somebody's got to be willing to trade back. And one of the teams that could be doing that, which I think makes the most sense, is Chicago at 9. In the Monday column, Albert Breer of Sports Illustrated indicated the word around the league is building that polls would be looking to move down. Quote, other teams have gotten the sense that Chicago will try to move down given the dearth of picks. So if you didn't know, Chicago has almost no picks. They have pick 1, pick 9, pick 75, and pick 122, and that's it. They have 2 Chicago Bears picks, and that's it. Pick number 1 is from Carolina. Pick 122 is from Philly. 9 and 75 are the only Chicago picks that they still have. Absolute insanity. So I would go so far as to say if they don't trade pick 9, that is it's disgusting, to say the least. I hope they don't. I want them to sit and pick Roma Dunze. I know people are freaking out. No, he's too good. I don't care. This is ridiculous. They're going to get 4 picks in this draft? You guys suck, man. There's rumors about Miami trying to add speed, of course. Another kind of long shot, but something to keep an eye on that would be fantastic. We talked about the potential kind of in that range where quarterbacks, you know, sort of quarterback death row. So you've got 1, 2, 3, maybe 4, whatever, going in the top 5. You've got possibly the Giants taking a quarterback at 6, and then you've got these other guys here. Another potential spot for a quarterback to go, apparently, would be Bo Nix going to the Rams at 19. Says, when Rams general manager Les Snead was a graduate assistant at Auburn, Oregon quarterback Bo Nix's father, Patrick, was the quarterback. Snead and Nix have a connection, and the Rams may have a soon-to-be pressing need at quarterback. It's possible Snead makes the most of his Knicks family ties to improve the future outlook under center for LA. There's a lot of talk about, well, they got to go defensive tackle to replace Aaron Donald, but that's, first of all, that's nonsense. You don't have to draft somebody just because somebody left, but that's sort of the assumption there. But yeah, I mean, they are in a Aaron Rodgers in his final couple year thing. That's where they are. You know your quarterback's on the way out. The guy can't stay healthy. His body's beaten all to hell. Get a quarterback. At least that's what I'm hoping. Some other notes, again, about all these insane trades. Another team that seems to be desperately trying to move up is Buffalo. It sounds like the Buffalo Bills have been working the phones, trying to get up so that they can get a wide receiver. Says the most likely targets are LSU's Brian Thomas and Texas's Xavier Worthy. Sounds like the preference is toward Thomas. After trading veteran Stephon Diggs, it sounds like Buffalo is going to be aggressive about finding Josh Allen's next number one receiver. So many desperate teams, which again, if you're the one team not panicking, you're in a really good spot. I'm just saying. And then here is the note, which has become self-evident, but I might as well read it anyways. This is from Walter Football, by the way. Some team sources say they think there could be more trade movement in this year's draft compared to typical years. They believe this moment could start in the middle of the first round, stretch into the late first round, and then continue through the second day of the 2024 NFL draft. The reason for the expected fluidity is teams feeling there's a lack of talent on day three of the draft, thanks to the influence of NIL and college football, and more players getting paid to stay in school. It's interesting. That has weakened the talent depth of the draft, leaving teams believing that third-day picks have less value. That is interesting with the NIL because, you know, if you're going to get drafted in the first round, you're going to make more money in the NFL. As you get drafted later and later, there's a good chance that you're going to get paid more to stay in college. So you could see how there would start to be more of a sharp drop-off in talent with there just being less, good day three talent. Some sources from playoff teams felt that there's a good chance that the players they would get on day three of the 2024 NFL draft would have a very hard time making the final 53-man roster. So rather than use the pick on a player who is likely to get cut, they could use the pick to move up in the early rounds. This year's draft has the potential to be one with lots of trades starting on the opening night of the draft. Some other really interesting notes. This is from 3 days ago. This is also Walter Football. So this just kind of giving more insight into some of the stuff we've already been talking about. Again, most of the interesting news and notes obviously are at the front of the draft. There's not a ton at the end. But it says, many weeks ago, I reported that the Washington Commanders had turned down trade offers at the 2024 NFL Scouting Combine for the number two overall pick. The Commanders turned down those offers because they are targeting a new franchise quarterback. In the following up with some team sources, they said the Patriots also turned down trade offers for the number three overall pick of the 2024 NFL Draft. The Patriots have stated they are open for business, but they have turned down offers. This makes it sound like the New England is waiting to see if they can get an absurd offer, but more likely the team is sticking at with the third pick to select a quarterback. Another interesting point, I won't read the whole thing, but one other thing to consider, you know, Minnesota is more desperate, but that may not matter because Arizona has an opportunity if they trade, for example, with the Giants. If the Giants still want to come up, depending on who's left, if they like JJ or whatever, but Arizona would potentially be able to get the Giants' 2025 first-round pick and still get one of the top, if not the top, wide receivers, rather than going all the way back to Minnesota's pick. Some pretty big news that potentially does impact the Green Bay Packers, probably negatively for many of you, not necessarily me. UCLA edge rusher Leiatu Latu received some fantastic and potentially life-changing news in that a lot of team doctors medically cleared him. Latu had a neck injury at Washington that forced him to briefly retire before he came back with the Bruins and produced two outstanding seasons of rushing the quarterback in the Pac-12. Some NFL team sources were expecting their doctors to flunk Latu, but many passed Latu to keep him alive on draft boards. As a result, Latu has a shot at cracking the top 10. Quote, Latu is the most natural pass rusher in this draft, said an AFC director of player personnel. Our doctors passed him, but we can be strict with our medical concerns. So I don't know that we would take him, but somebody else will. So it sounds like, you know, maybe half the league is willing to take him. And, you know, let's say the majority of them see him as a premier pass rusher. It's just unlikely he makes it to the Packers, would be my assumption. A few more here. Another one here, Dan Graziano and Jeremy Fowler saying that the Falcons could possibly go quarterback at 8. It'd be fantastic if they did. Penix stock is on the rise. We already talked about that a little bit. Vikings prefer Drake May over J.J. McCarthy. Oh, well. The Athletic put together a big board for the Seattle Seahawks, and it goes as follows. Dallas Turner, Jared Verse, Troy Fontenu, Byron Murphy, and Graham Barton. So watch for Seattle to go edge rusher if available, or pass rusher, possibly, you know, Byron Murphy. If not, watch for them to go offensive line. The Detroit Lions, working our way to the back of the draft here. The Detroit Lions, who do pick after us, apparently are looking very closely at cornerback. Now, we talked about it yesterday a little bit in terms of, it sounds like some of these guys could actually fall past the Packers, Kool-Aid, Nate Wiggins, whatever. If they do, there's a good chance Detroit is looking to snag one of them. There's also a chance, though, that they could look to move up and possibly over the Green Bay Packers to snag a corner. So keep an eye out for that. And then finally, Dane Brugler just did an informal poll with 5 league guys on their best guess of what the Patriots will do at 3. 4 of them said they're going to draft Drake May. 1 of them said they're going to draft J.J. McCarthy. And none of them said they're going to trade back. There's also talks about if the Patriots trade back, they're going to look to trade back up to come get a quarterback. That is the dumbest pile of crap I've ever heard in my life. You're sitting there, you have a quarterback. Why would you trade back, let somebody take a quarterback, and then try to come back up so that you can get a quarterback? It makes no sense. Just, they're going to take a quarterback. This is so stupid. Anyways, I'm going to leave it at that. You guys have a good rest of your day. Again, I'm going to plan on a little bonus episode here. I'm not sure what's coming out when, but we got to do our Zach Tom rule. But you guys have a good rest of your day, night, whatever. I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.